Welcome back to the Andrew Hines Real Estate Investing Podcast, and welcome to my garage. This is sort of my home office that I work out of, so I'm back in the cold. Last week's episode was recorded from Florida, I do believe. Yes, I am back here in Ontario, and I've been working on a lot. It's been crazy busy, but just before I get into what's going on, just a reminder what these midweek episodes are. These midweek episodes are an opportunity for you to get a deep dive into what's going on in my life, what's going on in my head, and all of the above. So everything in between. So I'll get into some announcements on these shows. I'll talk about concepts that I think could help you, things that I've been mulling over myself, and of course, what I'm working on. So I've had quite a bit of positive feedback about these so far. I'm going to keep doing them. I even had some positive feedback about the idea of doing it as a live stream, which I think this is perfect for, because I love the interaction. I'd love, you know, you guys can just tell me what you're wondering about, you know, live chat with me while I'm recording these. And I'm going to work on that. We're certainly going to be capable of doing that in the new studio. So stay tuned. That's going to happen. So anyways, what I'm going to cover today is the new book. So I actually have a book coming out. And I know I don't even think I've mentioned that on these episodes. But basically, yeah, that's coming out hopefully within the next month. Stay tuned for the exact details, but that's going to be really exciting. And then beyond that, there's this renter's bill of rights that was just announced on Wednesday. So that'll be yesterday if you're listening to the podcast on Thursday morning when this is released. And this is something Justin Trudeau mentioned at a press conference out in South Vancouver. And it's basically going to bring in some federal regulations. I'll get into that. And, you know, towards the end of this episode, I might sort of brainstorm as to what the coming episodes are going to include. So let's start with the book. So about a year and a half, 2 years ago, John Schwanker, who was one of my followers, also an investor, reached out to me. He's a published author already, and he had an idea to profile my guests for the podcast and wanted to know if I'd partner with him on a novel. And I didn't take much convincing because I'd wanted to write a book for many years, and I just, to do that on my own, I never really thought it was feasible. And when he approached me with the idea, I thought, hey, that makes perfect sense. I'm in no rush, but I'd love to get something like that underway. So in that period of time, John went through his own financial hardships with some of his investments. He had a flipping business that was going quite well. But we'll get to that. And of course, that's profiled in the book. But we set out and we actually interviewed guests that had been on this podcast for the book. So the book is a mix of investor bios, which John picked all of them. I had no say. Well, I could have had a say, but I chose to let him run with his idea. So I let him pick all the bios. And then there were several chapters that were sort of my insights and my oversight, my philosophy on what it takes to make investing work in 2024 and beyond. As you know, I can be fairly analytical. I spend a lot of time thinking about this. I should probably spend more time doing, quite frankly. But I do spend a lot of time thinking about what's the best fit, like what markets make sense, which don't. And as I keep interviewing people, I keep realizing you can make money everywhere. And I know I've been saying that all along. It's about picking which market you want to grow in. Because I just had a guy on my podcast yesterday. He is making it work in Ontario and throughout Ontario with land development. He's also eyeing up Saskatchewan, which I've heard good things about. I just went over a potential deal that a couple of my coaching students are looking at buying in Medicine Hat, Alberta, like of all places. And the numbers look really good, really good. So there are deals, they're out there. You don't need to go to the US like I have. Certainly, I think there's lots of benefit to going there. But pick your market, pick where you want to grow. And of course, don't pick the hardest one. Don't go to New York City. I don't really advise that unless you have a prime strategy. But anyways, high level takeaway is there's a way to make it work in nearly every market. It's just about how much work it will be. Okay, so getting a little tangent off the book. So basically, we have all these different people that we've interviewed in the book. We've gave my high level on what it's going to take. And of course, pulling a lot of insights from my background in business and economics, what my observations are, my deductive you know, thinking about the subject matter. And then of course we pair that in with all these different strategies. So sort of like a buffet, just like the podcast is, but in what I like about what John did is he organized each guest into common questions, a common format, in terms of their overall approach, you know, key factors that they think have made them successful. And it was a nice, neat, very palatable format. So we're going to have that of course in print. We've got the proof copies, although I don't have it in my hand right now. It's in the kitchen. Should have had that here. And then we're going to have, of course, the paper versions. We're going to have Kindle version and an audiobook. So stay tuned for all that. And I am going to have an opportunity for the followers of my mail list to actually get a copy of that book for free. So if you're not on my mail list, I highly recommend you join it. You can just go to my website and try and download the cash flow spreadsheet. That'll opt you in to my email list. And I will be sending out details on how you can get a copy of that book for free as soon as it's available. So stay tuned for that. All right, I'm going to pull out my notes on this Renter's Bill of Rights. So Justin Trudeau and Chrystia Freeland did their talk. Two of my favorite people. I'm just kidding. I truly don't really think about them much at all. And I'm actually, I think I'm going to do next week an episode on... maybe fairly controversial, but I think a lot about this, and it's been like 4 years of really studying how politicians work, gaslighting, the logical fallacies used, and the overall system, and a lot of psychological manipulation that exists. And I'd love to do one of these midweek episodes, just digging into the tools that they use, so it's very obvious to us, so that if you know what they do, then you can kind of just ignore them when they do it, which I find is very good for mental health. Since I tuned out, and anytime I hear nonsense, I just tune out, and it really works. It really helps improve happiness levels, because there's a lot of people in the quote-unquote conservative movement that are very despair-oriented these days. And I actually had somebody send me an email thanking me for the episodes and saying that I was always solutions-oriented. And I didn't even think that, but of course I aim to be. I'm not interested in despair. I'm not interested in being down about the state of Canada. I'm just like, all right, well, how are we going to make the best of any opportunity? Because every challenge creates an opportunity. So why dwell on the challenge? There's just no point. I'm all about extreme accountability. If my situation isn't great, it's because of me. Yes, there are conditions. We all have conditions and luck. But at the end of the day, we're all responsible and we can always improve our situation. So anyways, as I say that, now we'll get into the Renter's Bill of Rights. So this is an idea that Justin Trudeau floated. It's part of their upcoming budget. And at a high level, it's basically going to create rights for renters. In the press conference, I listened to about half of it. They were talking about how they wanted to, you know, how they were acknowledging the struggle of the average millennial and younger, and how it's not as easy as people, you know, had it in the past to buy a home. And they wanted to help streamline the process. And they didn't get real clear on exactly how they're going to make it more possible, or at least maybe I missed that part, but I have the high level takeaways from the press conference. But they did give some ideas and some points that I think actually might not be a bad thing for landlords. So for one, they said they're going to have a Renter's Bill of Rights. It's going to cover all of Canada, so it's going to be adopted by the provinces and it's federal. So that would include like a federal lease and sort of common federal standards, which, I mean, could be good or bad, but it would potentially take away some of the benefits to, say, going to Alberta from Ontario if you were one of the investors who had done that, because they may standardize and, you know, standardize rent control across the country, right? So if Alberta was an opportunity, maybe it won't be. Those details, as far as I know, are not yet available and will probably be discovered at a later date. Creation of a legal aid fund. So a legal aid fund. So, obviously the conversation was very tenant focused. Nowhere in there was landlords' rights mentioned, to my knowledge. I didn't hear it. It might have been. Correct me if I'm wrong. Write it in the comments. So kind of in line with what you would expect to see from Ontario and Canada in general. Recognition of rent payments for your credit. So this is actually kind of good for landlords. So any of those tenants that you have that they want to own a home one day, like, that's perfect, because the people who know that their credit is being impacted by their rent payments being received on time, that's a good thing. So if they're building their credit with your rent payments, they're way more likely to pay on time. So I actually think that's great for landlords in Ontario and the rest of Canada, which this would affect. This would be a nationwide endeavor. And then increased focus on fairness. So measures in fairness. Young Canadians are affected by housing costs. I'm just reading this note here. So kind of a lot of fluff, but fairness. I mean, if it's anything like the Reopening Ontario Act, it could actually be the exact opposite. I mean, that's kind of, what do they call that? Orwellian doublespeak. I wouldn't be surprised. I just call things a spade. Not emotionally. I'm not upset about it. I'm just calling it out. And I will do plenty of that. And then the final note here is it's going to be engaged with the provinces. So it's going to be a quote unquote collaborative effort, sort of like the Canadian Bill of Rights, the Canadian Charter of Rights and Freedoms, which is different from the Bill of Rights. And the Charter was actually both provinces and federal. So you have the Canadian Bill of Rights, which is actually just federal. So the provinces aren't really bound by it, which the Canadian Bill of Rights from 1960 is, I mean, I'm not a lawyer, but in my interpretation, it seems a lot stronger than the Charter. Anyways, different topic, different day. So overall, do I think this will be a good thing for investors? No, most likely not. Why I look at the U.S. as an opportunity is because the mentality of the people. Because if you think of how did politics get to where they are? Ultimately, we're all to blame for it. But so you have culture, and then downstream from culture is politics, because politics follow culture. Culture, upstream from culture is media, because the media, one might think that culture shapes media, but it's actually very much not true. Some of the really, really gross things about media these days were contrived, in my opinion. That's my opinion anyway. But it trickles down. So if you have young kids watching Cardi B or whatever, they learn to start talking in a certain way, start becoming, you know, more promiscuous. Like, think about like Friends, the TV show. My dad absolutely hated that show, and his gripe with it, he's like, all they ever do is all just sleep with each other. And I always just dismissed my dad as being, you know, a little overdramatic. And now as a parent, I'm like, oh, totally. I would never want my kids watching that. Even though, like, of course, an entertaining show, just, it doesn't reflect traditional values. So media shapes culture, culture shapes politics. And then politics, obviously, now come back around and reshape culture again. But my point of bringing that up is our culture in Canada, as you could, you know, think, like with the immigration we have, there is no national identity. Justin Trudeau is on record saying such things. You know, Canada doesn't have a national identity. It's just, you know, whatever, all the group of people, the melting pot that it has become. So keeping that in mind, where will politics land? Politics will land where values direct. So if people don't value private property, politics will eventually eliminate private property. If people don't value good traditional values, then politics will not enforce good traditional values. And I see a lot of what I think are sort of like contrived notions in like just my social media posts. Like in the last couple of weeks, if you were following my Instagram, I had a couple of posts that did like crazy viral in my world. So one of them is almost at 1 million views. The other one's at like over 100,000. The one that's at 100,000 was about a tenant that had gone into bankruptcy with $40,000 of rent owed, and his rent arrears were wiped out. So when the landlord tried to evict him based on rent owed, it was deemed not valid, and the tenant was allowed to stay. So now the landlord is going to go into power of sale, because in his case, he was not prepared to handle that. And I consider that not running your business like a business, because if you're going to have one house, you better be able to float that house. If 1 year is going to kill you, then maybe you need to rethink your strategy. That's just my opinion. or invest in a place where you don't think 1 year is a possibility. But in Ontario, you gotta know that that's a possibility. There's ways to mitigate that risk. But anyways, it's just something to be aware of, something that you don't want to take lightly. But anyways, getting back to the fact that that was an Instagram post that did really well, the type of comments it attracted really illustrated to me that there's a very large group of people in Ontario and beyond that are entirely uneducated on what real estate investors do, what landlords do, and how they create value. A lot of people saying landlords create no value, nonsense, middleman, things like that. And it can't be described through anything more than, in my opinion, ignorance and gaslighting. There's a reason people don't know true economic fundamentals. There's a reason they don't even understand what gaslighting actually is. They're never taught about logical fallacies. They're not taught to think critically. So we have a large portion of the population that's sort of been groomed by the Canadian education system to be ignorant, and that's concerning, and that's on all of us the way that is. And as I said, I'm not down about the way things are. I'm actually like incredibly optimistic, because I don't like putting control of my future in somebody else's hands. So I don't really care who the next politician is. It doesn't matter to me. I truly don't think it matters in general. What matters is our values. What are the communities we build? What are the things we create in our local communities, and creating high trust communities? So I know I've been all over the place with this episode, but I'm just kind of ranting a little bit about what's on my mind right now. And I think the biggest and best thing that we can do, you know, in spite of what this Canadian Renters Bill of Rights does, and in spite of just about anything else, is form really strong local communities, people we trade with, grow with. If we start businesses, we give preferential treatment to those people. If we grow a garden, we share, they share. Those are ways that we can not be dependent on a government that's crazy. And then of course the other things that we can do are leave. We could do that. I don't think that's necessary. I'm still here. Of course I invest elsewhere, but my family's here. You know, Canada is a place that is still geographically home, and that's definitely not something I just want to walk away from. So just sharing some thoughts for today, but I definitely do think eventually, whether it's next week or in a couple of weeks, I'm going to do a midweek episode just going through logical fallacies, gaslighting, and psychological manipulation, and the different stuff I've seen, what I've learned about it over the past several years, and why it was a topic of interest to me in the first place. So happy to go into that, and hopefully that's something you're in for. If not, just skip that episode, and we'll see you on another one very soon. So if you want to reach out to me, talk to me, let me know feedback on what you think of these episodes, at the Andrew Hines on Instagram, or you can send me an email, andrew@andrew-hines.com. I ask, please, no solicitations for the moment. Ideas are cool, but you know, solicitations are just tough for me. Like I'm doing a lot of things. I got a lot going on. It's not going to be a hard rule, but for right now, that's not really what I'm looking for. But if you want to connect, by all means, please do. Until then, I will see you next time.